Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
30 years ago today, on the 30th of April 1991, Conor and Sheila Dwyer attended Mass. It was a Requiem Mass, a funeral Mass at St. Patrick's Church in Fermoy. And they saluted or spotted a woman called Catherine Fenton as they walked away from that Mass towards, we assume, their home at a place called Chapel Hill in Fermoy. Catherine Fenton was the last person to ever see Conor and Sheila Dwyer. Now, at the time, Joe Watkins was stationed in Fermoy Garda Station, and I've been speaking with Joe in advance of today.
Joe, you were a young sergeant at the time the Dwyers went missing. I was a young journalist, learning my trade, as it were. It was almost as if they walked off the planet, wasn't it?
Absolutely, PJ. As I said in different interviews and talking to different journalists about this back the years, I described it as if they were beamed up into the sky. There was a program on the television, and Scotty, beam me up, Scotty. That's how we described it. They were beamed away. It was baffling.
Were you one of the first people that took a report?
Yes, I took the report, but you see, it wasn't reported until the 22nd of May. Now, they were last seen on the 30th of April. And the last contact that the family had by phone, it was Conor's wife, Sheila, phoned her sister on the 1st of May. So there was no report made to the Gardaí, to myself, actually, until the 22nd. And Maisie called to the station and reported she hadn't seen them or heard about them. Mm. And there it started.
So they were gone for a couple of weeks?
They were, yeah. When they were gone, there was no trace. She hadn't heard of them or seen them. From the last contact she had was the 1st of May, a phone call from Sheila. And then all that 20 days passed, and until she reported it, you know.
Was that just a routine phone call, Joe?
Oh, yeah, it was, of course. And because, you see, I'd say they were very close. They were a very close family, you know. And Sheila would have kept contact, I'd say.
There was nothing unusual in the call, you know? No?
Oh, no. I don't know the contents of the call, PJ. But absolutely, it was just a normal call. Like, I'd ring my mother at the time, or you would ring somebody, you know.
It was a massive investigation, and never a sight or sound of them found.
Not a sight or sound. But you see, a missing person, you see, where do you start? Where do you start at a missing person report? I mean, if somebody had alleged, say, it was foul play, it would be a completely different type of an investigation, as you can understand. But there was no question that whatsoever. None whatsoever. The investigation started by going to the house and getting into the house, and that was all. Their property was there. Everything was intact. Their clothes was neat. Their passports were there. There was some money there. There was documents. Everything was left. The only thing was missing was the occupants and their car. That famous Toyota Cressida, white distinctive car, lovely looking car now. And the number that was 5797 is ZT. I will never forget that number. And that was gone. There was no trace to them. And of course, it was circulated at the time by us. And there was no positives on. There was sightings here and there all over the country, and everything was checked out to the bitter end. But alas, nothing happened. No, within the Nothing. Not even the car. The car was a mystery. You see, even to the present day, I don't know what state investigation is at the moment. I presume the file is still live. But I mean, if the car would be the link, you know.
Mm.
No sign of it.
Because sometimes when a person is missing, and they can be missing for quite some time, the car will turn up somewhere.
Well, indeed, you see, 14 months previously, a man was missing from my Mr. William Fennessy, and there was no trace of him whatsoever until, I think it was 2013, just across the from the Grand Hotel there in Fermoy in the river. There was a piece of a car found, and it was investigated, and it turned out it was William Fennessy.
Mm.
So, do you know what I mean?
In the space of time between when the Dwyers last were in contact with their relatives and the time that the investigation started, it was reported to you, there was that couple of weeks. Like, they could have gone anywhere, I suppose, in that couple of weeks. But you would have investigated that too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but where did it go? Their passports were at home, right? I mean, at that time, I'm not too sure now whether one required a passport to travel to say, across the water. I don't know. Nowadays you would anyway, but I don't know at the time, but all that was checked.
Hmm.
All that was checked, you know.
They were never seen at ports, airports?
No. It was all checked. Interpol informed about this, etc. And I believe, I know, I wasn't involved in it. There was supposed to be a sighting in Germany. I wasn't involved in that part of it because I wasn't. I was back in the city. I think it was 1993, 1994, and it's checked out by the police in Germany, and still no good. But it was a strange case.
And like you said, the house was searched, passports was found, it? No money. Was there even evidence of anyone packing a bag?
No, absolutely not. Untouched. Everything I was as is. It was perfect. You see, Connor was a very neat man. He was a very dapper man, very neat, and so was his wife, Sheila.
Did you know them personally, Joe?
Well, I knew Connor. I didn't know Sheila that personally, but I knew Connor. I met him. Umpteen times I met him.
Hmm.
He used to love showing off his, well, they weren't his car, his employer's Rolls-Royce, and there was a Daimler as well, lovely car, you know.
Yeah, he was employed, wasn't it, by a German man. He used to look after the cars for him, isn't that right?
That's right, a German businessman. He lived in Castle Lyons there. He was employed by him as his chauffeur.
Hmm.
And Connor used to pull up the car in front of the Garda station, and we'd be out looking at the Rolls-Royce. Remembered well. But he was very man, and he was a very, they were a very devoted couple. He loved his wife, obviously. You know, he'd open the door of the car for her and let her in, you know.
They had two sons, and then you obviously contacted the sons. They hadn't heard from them either.
Yes, I spoke to both sons, and they were flabbergasted, obviously, too.
Where were they at the time?
Well, one was in England, and the other was, if memory serves me right, I think he was above in County Galway.
Hmm.
And when was the last time either of them had heard from their parents?
Well, you see, they hadn't heard in a while either, you see, you know, they hadn't been in contact, you know, but they were surprised to hear about this, you know.
Hmm.
Now, they're obviously still alive, though, so sons, I hope they are, two lads, and they're still wondering, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
It was a complete mystery.
Move forward to a time when the Crime Line programme did a reconstruction, a very painstaking reconstruction. You were involved in that.
I was indeed, yeah, with poor Marion Finucane, may she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to Dublin. There was a fabulous reconstruction. You know, they came down from Dublin and with all their crew. And the reconstruction, we got a Rolls-Royce. We got, I got a Toyota Cressida. And put number plates on it, 5797ZT, parked that above at the house. A model, it's where it was, Connor. Drove the car up and down the street and parked it in the square in Fermoy. And it was a female model as well. To rattle people's brains, no good.
Hmm.
And the countrywide, that time the crime line was new, it was relatively new on the scene, you know, but there was no sightings, no.
Hmm. And when Crime Line does those big reconstructions, there's nearly always some call or other will come in. There was nothing.
Nothing, absolutely. Nothing nothing that had, that would lead us in any direction, you know.
Did you have any theories yourself, Joe, at any time?
No, I didn't, PJ, you know, because, I mean, as I said there a few minutes ago, where do you start? Where does one start at a missing person? You see, a person is entitled to go missing. Do you know what I mean? If I wanted to go missing in the morning, I could go missing. Like, I didn't want anyone to know where I was. It's not a crime, like. But, I mean, where does one start? As I said, it'd be different if somebody said, well, they're gone missing and they suspect there was something happened to them or there was foul play. It's a different story altogether then. But apart from that, people are entitled to go missing. You know?
Like you say, it remains open to this day.
I presume, yeah. I presume, well, I'm retired now, 18 years, so I presume it's still open. It has to be open, sure. I mean, it hasn't been recovered.
What I do recall was around the time of the reconstruction, and there was a documentary made as well, that locals were very reticent to talk about it. There was almost a quietness about it.
Well, you see, you know, I read that. Not to the members of the Garda at the time, but I read that on some paper that there was, they said, locals weren't inclined to talk about it. I can't understand what gave rise to that, even to this day. But as regards members of the Garda at the time, myself included, anyone we asked about it were most interested in this, you know. But of course, time has passed now, you see, and an awful lot of people in my own age now wouldn't remember them, but an awful lot of people wouldn't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's the problem, you see.
30 years on, as we mark 30 years to the day, it remains as much of a mystery as the day you took the report.
Absolutely, it's still a mystery. But it's something, I don't know. I often wondered, you know, I often said to myself, wouldn't it be great if there was something found, you know? No, they would be, Connor would be 92 now.
Yes.
And Sheila would have been 90, you know, they'd be very elderly. I hope, you know, I hope they're still alive, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just do not know.
In the intervening time between the 1st of May, when the last phone call was made, and the 22nd of May when it was reported to the Gardaí, I suppose there is a possibility that they headed off in the car over to the UK. But then again, that was investigated.
Oh, absolutely, it was, of course. Yeah, they could have, you see. And at the time, was there any check? You know, with passports? I don't know, at the time.
No, you wouldn't have needed a passport to get to the UK at the time, but you'd needed a passport to go beyond it.
Oh, you would, yeah, but I mean,
they took no passports.
Exactly, and if they took a car, would at the time, you know, I mean, those things were all checked.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, you know, that era, they still talk about it. Because I can recall being on holidays in different parts of the country. You know, you get talking to people on holidays, where are you from? That couple, Harry signed them. You know what I mean? I remember I was up in Donegal one time, I said I was from Fermoy. That couple from Fermoy, they're missing, still missing. He didn't know, he was talking to the man that knew all about it.
And the sightings that you mentioned, like, where did they come from? Were they all over Ireland?
There was some people rang in and said they saw them in Lourdes. They saw them in Lourdes Airport. They were seen up in Dublin. They were seen, as I said, somebody saw them out in Munich. Different sightings there, and they were seen in Cork City.
And what would have been the procedure if someone contacted the Gardaí and said, I think I've seen them? Like, what would have been done?
Well, first of all, you would have to visit those people. You'd have to speak to those people who phoned in. You know, you'd have to meet them. And then you'd say, look, can you describe them? You know what I mean? You're kind of, it's an inquisition then to the people that phoned in. Can you describe them? And because you wouldn't be showing them a photograph. I even thought I saw photographs in the paper. But sometimes they say, oh, no, that's not them at all now. I was mistaken. And that, some of that happened.
And was there ever a time, Joe, when you were hopeful of a sighting that you thought this might be it?
Oh, sure, absolutely, yeah, yeah. You get a phone call and say, look, 100% sure it said I seen them, and you go visit them, and that had be checked out completely, and you know, and your horse would be built up, you know.
Only to be dashed again.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that happened umpteen times, yeah.
It must be terrible to be in the position of their sons or anyone else that knew them at the time.
Oh, yeah. Sure, that's it. Well, this is it to see the family, you know. I mean, there's no closure for them, is there?
Joe, thank you for being with us.
No problem, PJ. Bye-bye.
Cork's 96 FM.